Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today will be part four of a series we started recently that is entitled Words Truly Matter. Now, in general, words truly matter, right? Whether it's in education, whether it's in business, whether it's in politics, but especially in the church. If you've been with us during this series, we have seen how just minor differences in seemingly insignificant words, minor differences make a huge difference, right? And so today we're going to continue to talk about some words that are tossed around very easily in Christian circles, but those words often are not really considered very deeply. And so today we're going to talk about this idea about Christ, his atonement. In other words, who did Christ die for? And here are your words. Did he die for, listen to the word, his people? Or did he die for, listen to the word, all people? Again, two tiny words, his and all. But they make a major difference, right? So what do you think? Did Jesus die for his people, the elect, or did Jesus die for all people, everyone? What do you think? Well, don't take this the wrong way. It doesn't really matter what you think. It doesn't really matter what I think. Let's take a look and see what Scripture clearly says. Good deal? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to take a look at several scriptures to see what the Bible says about who Jesus actually died for. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 21, the angel had announced to Joseph that his fiancée, Mary, she was pregnant, Joseph, but not by natural means. She had not had sexual relations with any man, but rather she was impregnated by the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the angel said, Joseph, don't divorce her. She didn't cheat on you. And then in verse 21, the angel said to Joseph that she, Mary, will bear a son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the monogenes, the supreme one, the unique one, God the Son, the Holy One. Well, the angel said to Joseph that she, Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save, notice the word, his people from their sins. Not all people, his people. Well, the question that needs to be asked is, who exactly are his people? The answer, from Jesus himself. Go to John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus declared, I am, ego eimi, I am, Jesus said, the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for whom? for the sheep, for his sheep, the elect. In fact, Jesus says it a second time. Hop down to verse 14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And here it is again. I lay down my life for the sheep. Okay, Andrew. That's great, but that doesn't really say to us exactly who the sheep are. We know that Jesus says he lays down his life for the sheep, but couldn't it be said that, you know, that's just kind of like a figurative way of Jesus saying that he lays down his life for all people, for everyone? No. How do we know that? Go to Matthew 25. Jesus makes it very clear who the sheep are. Matthew 25, starting in verse 31, Jesus says, when the Son of Man, referring to himself, comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. But of course, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he comes, his second coming, verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him. All the people, everyone. Whoever lived, and he will separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep, from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. So now we see, again, the very words of Jesus. We see sheep and goats. The sheep are separated from the goats and the goats from the sheep. The sheep are placed on the Lord's right side, the goats on the Lord's left side. Who are the sheep? Who are the goats? Well, verse 34. Then the king, Jesus referring to himself, will say to those on his right, the sheep, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The sheep, Jesus says to them, enter into heaven, the glorious eternal kingdom. Jesus says that to the sheep. What does he say to the goats? Well, verse 41, he will also say to those on his left, the goats, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, two types of people on judgment day, the sheep and the goats. The sheep, the elect of God. The goats, the non-elect. The sheep, the ones for whom Jesus laid down his life, paying for their sins and satisfying the Father's wrath towards them. The goats, they wanted nothing to do with Jesus. The result, Jesus says to the sheep, enter into the eternal kingdom prepared for you. Jesus will say to the goats, depart from me, accursed ones, into the fiery hell, where you will be there with the devil and the demons. Did Jesus die for all people? Everyone? No. He laid down his life for the sheep, not the goats. He saved his people from their sins. Who are his people? The sheep, the elect of God. Hop over to Ephesians chapter 5. We see this again very clear in the section where husbands are told to love their wives. Verse 25, how? Just as Christ also loved the church, the elect, the sheep, and gave himself up for her, not for everyone. Words truly matter. Who did Jesus die for? His people or all people? Did he die for his people, the elect? Or did he die for all people, everyone who's ever lived? You can take it a step further. By dying for a specific people, his people, the sheep, the elect, Jesus's atonement was an actual atonement for a specific people. If you say that Jesus died for everyone, everywhere, for all people, well, we know that not all people go to heaven. Well, what does that mean? That if Jesus supposedly died for everyone, and not everyone is saved and goes to heaven, then explain Jesus' atonement. Did he fail? May it never be. Well, some people will say, well, no, he didn't fail. He atoned for the sins of everyone, but that atonement was not actual. It was potential. It was a potential atonement for all people, but it doesn't become actual for anyone until they make the decision to trust in Christ. Wait a second. That is some terrible theology. If Jesus supposedly died for everyone, and yet not everyone is saved, and you say that his atonement was potential for everyone, well, then guess what? He didn't actually atone for anyone's sin at the cross. So when he declared on the cross, paid in full, tetelestai, once for all time, who was he talking about? I mean, did he actually like mess up and he should have said, well, not paid in full, but rather potentially paid in full. But it doesn't really kick in until people on their own decide to believe in me. What? Guys, then that means that Christ actually was not victorious. He potentially was, right? I mean, what? Potentially, but based on the fact that people have to make the kind of final decision. Again, that is terrible, terrible theology, and it clearly goes against what Scripture says. Again, think about the passages I showed you. Matthew chapter 1. The angel said to Joseph, "You shall name him Jesus because he will pay for the sins of his people." Not all people. John 10, Jesus declared, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." Matthew 25, we learn who the sheep were, the elect who were saved. They enter into the eternal kingdom. But there's another group of people, the goats, the non-elect. They're not saved, and they end up in hell. If Jesus supposedly paid for everybody's sins, then how could he say to the goats, "Go to hell, depart from me"? How could he say that if he supposedly paid for the sins of everybody? That means he would have paid for their sins too. Well, then how does he send them to hell? Well, some will say, well, no. He paid for their sins, but because they rejected him, that's why they go to hell. Okay. Let's think this through. If they reject him, what's that called? A sin. But wait a second, I thought he paid for all their sins. Well, he didn't pay for that one. Then how could he have risen from the dead? Because where there's sin, there must be death. But where there's no sin, there's no death. If Jesus paid for, let's say, the majority of sins, but not all of them, Houston, are there any other sins of ours he didn't pay for? Again, that's terrible theology. And that is not what the Bible says. Again, where there is sin, there must be death. So think this through. When the sins of his people were placed on him, and then God's wrath was poured out on Christ instead of the sheep, his people, then Jesus declared, paid in full. For whom? The sheep, the elect, his people. It was an actual atonement, paid in full. For whom? For them, his people. Jesus died, but 3 days later, he rose in victory. Where there's sin, there must be death. Where there's no sin, there's no death. Which means that he paid for absolutely every sin of his sheep. Past sins, present sins, and future sins. Christ actually, not potentially, but actually atoned for the sins of his people. Words truly matter, gang. You hear time and time again from pulpits in churches that Christ died for everyone. And because that is just tossed around so continuously, so thoughtlessly, and so unbiblically, the people in the pews just kind of just, it saturates into their minds without them actually thinking through what that actually means. Again, if Jesus died for everybody, you're left with one of two options. Option number one, that means everybody goes to heaven, right? If he died for everybody, that means everybody goes to heaven. Well, we saw in Matthew 25, Jesus said to the goats, depart from me, and go to hell. We know that not everybody goes to heaven. We are not universalists. Universalism is a heresy that teaches that in the end, God is going, you know, God in his love is just going to empty hell. There's not going to be anybody in hell, and everybody ends up in heaven. That's called universalism, and that is heresy. So, again, if Jesus supposedly died for everyone, you're left with one or two options. Either one, that means everyone goes to heaven. We know that doesn't happen. Or number two, then Jesus didn't actually atone for anybody's sin. It was just all potential for everyone. Which again means when he declared, paid in full, he needed to add, comma, potentially? What? Do you see it? And again, if he paid for the sins of everybody, and yet there are those who reject Christ and go to hell, then why do they go to hell? Because apparently he paid for their all their sins. Well, yeah, but he didn't. He didn't pay for that one. Again, I ask, are there any others? Come on. He paid for the sins of his, not all people. He paid for the sins of his elect, not for everyone. He paid for the sins of his sheep, not the goats. And his atonement was an actual atonement. Not potential. Go to 1 Peter. Actually, you know what? Go first to Hebrews. Just notice how many times the writer of Hebrews says about the atonement of Christ. I'll just stay in chapter 10. There are other places. Chapter 10. Verse 10, He, Christ, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 14, For by one offering He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Pretty clear, huh? Hop over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Look what Peter says here. And notice the tense. By the way, he's writing to the elect. And he says to them in chapter 1, that they were, verse 19, redeemed. Done deal. An actual redemption or atonement. They were redeemed. How? With the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Peter doesn't say that he potentially redeemed you guys, but it doesn't become actual until you make the decision to accept it. Again, that makes Jesus kind of, well, doesn't, he's not victorious. He's hopeful. He and the Father are in heaven biting their nails going, oh, I hope. I mean, look what I did. And let's just hope that Andrew is going to wake up one day and go, I want to accept what Jesus did. That makes Jesus, well, that he's not sovereign. He's also not victorious. He's hopeful at best. Again, that is terrible, horrific theology. It makes us as humans the ones who clinch the deal, so to speak. Really? So Jesus burst through the doors of death. In fact, go to Acts chapter 2. This will be the last part of scripture I take you to. Look what Peter declared about Christ. Verse 23, this man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you, he was speaking to the Jews, nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men, which would include the Romans, and put him to death. Verse 24, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in the death's power. Why? Where there's sin, there must be death. Our sins are placed on Christ. He dies the death we deserve. But 3 days later, he rises in victory because he paid in full for every one of the sins of his people. That's why Peter says, under the power of the Spirit, it was impossible for the doors of death to keep its hold on him. He conquered once for all time sin and death. And so, words truly matter. Who did Christ actually die for? His people or all people? Well, if it's his people, then it was an actual atonement, an actual victorious atonement. If it was for all people, then it was just really a potential atonement, a hopeful atonement. No, Scripture is clear. Christ died for his people, the sheep, the elect. And if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that's because you have been chosen by God before the foundation of time, and you were redeemed at the cross 2,000 years ago. And God the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, regenerated you, made you alive when you were dead in your sins and trespasses, and he gave you the gift of faith for you to be able to go, "Oh, what a wretched sinner I am. Jesus, please be merciful to me, the sinner." Salvation is all a work of God. It is all a gift from God. The elect were chosen before the foundation of time. The elect were redeemed at the cross 2,000 years ago, and every one of the elect will be drawn to Christ by the Holy Spirit and will be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And every one of the elect will enter the eternal kingdom. They are the sheep of the great shepherd for whom he laid down his life. They will enter the eternal kingdom and they will worship their triune God forever and ever. Christian, I can't wait. How about you?
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.